Welcome into episode 93 of the Golly MN podcast. Today is a bit of a retread in some ways of things that we've discussed overall, but this really was inspired by an article that I sent Will from a guy that we have covered another thing on his podcast, Aaron Wren, or on this podcast, I think the 10
healthy pillars of masculinity, or 10 pillars of healthy masculinity.
There you go. There you go. Well, he sent another one, and we did not steal from him this time, but we decided, you know,
it inspired us.
It inspired us. We're going to do our own list of 5 ways that young men can destroy their lives. And he took it like
some, you know, pretty big.
Get involved with
drugs,
crime and drugs. And it's like, okay, we're going to assume for our listeners, we're not of the Godly MN, we're going to assume that you're not really getting into like crime and going out and shooting anybody. So yeah, you can really ruin your life if you're going to go out and steal from a convenience store. That one's kind of upfront. I'm going to tell you, I don't think we're going to cover that one in detail, but it still inspired what I think is a pretty good list.
Well, yeah, because there's, you think about all the different ways that you can just kind of, and it might sound dramatic, like, oh, destroy your life. A lot of these things can just set you up for an awful life.
Correct.
They really, really can. And so this is a cautionary episode in the sense of, like, we want to encourage you, do not make some of these decisions. Like, just steer clear, avoid. But just be aware, more than anything, be aware that if you make the wrong decision in these areas, you very well could destroy your life.
Yep.
100%. So let's get into it. This might be a quicker episode. We got 5 things, but I think maybe some good discussion with all these. The first one on here, poor decisions with girls. Poor decisions with girls can absolutely destroy your life. And there's a lot of different elements. We thought about kind of breaking it out into specific things, but then we would have more than 5. And so it's just like, let's just group all this under one heading of poor decisions with girls. The first one, and this was actually on Aaron Wren's list. He put just getting a girl pregnant, you know, out of wedlock. Just simply sleeping around before marriage can absolutely destroy your life. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, man, is that really that big of a deal? And obviously every Netflix show ever now kind of glorifies that and paints that as normal. I'm like, oh yeah, everybody kind of sleeps around. It's like that very, Joe, let's do this. Talk about why that can destroy your life for a young man.
Multiple reasons. Yes, sleeping around, first off, if you are unprotected, which don't do it anyway. Don't, protected or not protection, it's not good.
Right.
If you're doing unprotected, pregnancy, STDs, things like that, very serious. Even if you're doing it protected or whatever you want to say, you're bonding with each one, oxytocin's released, you're bonding yourself to each of these girls.
That you're not going to end up
with. That you're not going to end up with. So by the time you get to your marriage, you are damaged goods to a certain degree. You look at it and it's, you know, kind of the matching layer. Jesus wants the rose. Like, yeah, Jesus, it's not going to necessarily affect your eternal salvation if you repent from those things.
There are real world consequences.
Correct. Though. You're not saved from the consequences of in this day and age of... Now, and I've worked with clients where literally they have a very difficult time of getting somebody in their past out of their mind when they're having sex with their spouse. And they love their spouse and they're devoted and they care about their spouse. But sometimes that takes place where it's like, well, we just had sexual chemistry in this particular person. Don't do that. Don't put anybody else in your mind, excuse me, anybody else in your past that does not belong there, that doesn't need to be there. If you save yourself for marriage, you've only got one person to compare against, right? And the comparison game gets a lot easier when it's just you and your spouse.
Well, in the pregnancy thing, one thing he did bring up in the article is like there are guys that have a lot of talent, lots of hopes and dreams, could get into any school they want, and get a girl pregnant, and all that kind of goes up in smoke. And, you know, it's that's just – if you just don't make the decision, you can really save yourself a lot of heartache. And, again, even if you don't get anybody pregnant, there, I'm glad Joe brought that up of like all the mental connections, the oxytocin, all those things, just – sleeping around before marriage absolutely can destroy your life. But let's get into the other side of this, Joe, which
we thought about making this one
enormous.
Doing 6 ways because this is that important. So you're the one that put it on here, so I'll let you do it.
Marrying the wrong girl can absolutely destroy your life. Marrying the wrong girl can absolutely destroy your life. Even if you stay pure and you know, don't sleep around and you marry somebody, if it's the wrong girl, it can 100% destroy your life for several reasons, Joe, and I'm curious to hear, you know, what context you would provide here. First and foremost, because you're going to have most likely have children with this individual. And so if you marry the wrong girl who is maybe selfish, who just kind of wants to do her own thing, is not really a kid person, but you decide to have kids, what's that going to do to your children? What kind of mother is she going to be? How are they going to, what kind of home are they going to grow up in? That this is a tough thing where like you can control what kind of dad you are to some extent. You can't really control what kind of mother she is, what kind of wife she is. And so this is so critically important that you don't make the wrong decision because your kids can turn out messed up. Your parenting can be awful. Your marriage can just be, you know, absolutely honeymoon phase for a year, but then if she has these bad traits that you didn't see or you just kind of overlooked because, oh my goodness, we're in love, that feeling can kind of evaporate pretty quickly once life starts to get tough or once she starts doing things that you don't like. And so, I don't know, we could talk about this one for a long time, Joe. What thoughts do you have on why marrying the wrong girl can absolutely destroy your life?
So many. This will set you back to square one on being godly young men because, excuse me, if you are pursuing something greatly, you got to know that she's in your corner when you come home. She's taking care of things on the home front while you're going out and conquering. If she ain't taking care of things on the home front, guess what your job now is? Take care of things on the home front as well. That will hurt your ability to go out and achieve greatly because you have to do both parts. Because maybe she's lazy or maybe she's pushing back or maybe she wants to go out and be a career woman. And you have to now battle with egalitarianism. You got to battle with complementarianism. Like, well, we can kind of, you know, I'll help her with some of the chores and you know, she'll kind of make some of the money. And then I lost my job and now she's the sole breadwinner. And all of a sudden as a man, my testosterone and my self-esteem is through the floor. But, you know, she's making all like, but hey, she's a girl boss. She goes out there and gets it done. That affects you in so many ways. You got to think about, as we've talked about before on this, 250 years from now, the woman you marry now can play a massive role on 250 years.
Will play a massive role.
Will play a massive role through the generations if she's incredibly lazy, if she's incredibly selfish, if she wants to stick the kids in public school because she just doesn't want to homeschool. Oh, I don't get along with the kids. She's not a kid person. You have to test so many different things before you go to get married. This is why it's one of the most important decisions of your life. Get this one right. If you marry the wrong girl, you will be in, and the Proverbs talks about this, right? The woman who's a drippy faucet, it's better to live in a corner of a roof than it is with a woman who's a nag. Mm. She can make or break a man, and she can cause you to feel like you are king of the world and Superman, or like you are the very worst satanic person on planet Earth because she hates your guts every single day. And it varies, and she's emotionally unstable. I've seen so many guys' lives ruined where they had all the potential in the world, and they crashed it into the ground because they were too busy trying to go to war with their wife day in and day out. Just, boy, this is massive.
Look for the traits. Don't settle because, man, I don't know if I'm going to find anybody. This one's showing some interest in me. I better snatch her up while I can. Don't settle. Look for the traits. I've said this before, but I think it's so important. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up. Does she have a moldable heart?
Yeah.
There are some traits that maybe they don't check off when you first meet them. And, you know, my wife, I don't think she necessarily listens. I hope she won't be too upset. My wife was not the most modest individual in the world before we got together. She is incredibly modest now. Why? Because she has a moldable heart. And so if you're just kind of looking for things, like, that's the main trait that you want to look for. My wife was not the biggest fan of homeschooling when we got together. She is now. Like, and a lot of that is from my influence, but a lot of that is just because she's grown. She's matured. And so does this person have a moldable heart, I think, is the most important trait you can look for. I think you'd probably say the same with your wife.
Absolutely.
It's the most important one.
Because you're not marrying a 40-year-old, most likely, right? We're talking godly young men. You're probably going to be marrying somebody in 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They don't have life figured out, neither do you. That's okay. We're not looking for perfection.
But what
traits
do they exhibit?
We're looking for the traits. We're looking for a heart. We're looking for somebody that is willing to grow with you and ultimately to be the best Christian she can be.
Are they kind? Do they care about others? Do they talk about themselves nonstop without ever asking if anybody, you know, about anybody else's thoughts or opinions? Like, these are things you can see. Sure, it's difficult when you're just blinded by how attractive they are and they are in love or whatever. These are things I would, you know, how do they act around their family? How do they act around children? We're spending way too much time on this one, but it's, my goodness,
it's
so important. Yeah.
This is, when you talk about ways to ruin your life, this is one that you can be in purgatory for years because we're assuming you're not just going to go get divorced. You made a covenant. You made a commitment with God. I don't care how much you may go, well, this was a mistake. You stick to your word because a man is only as good as his word. Yeah. And if you go, oh, we'll just get divorced and that's fine. Hold off. Realize if that is your thinking going
wrong
into
answer.
Marriage, that is the wrong answer. You made a commitment in the eyes of God. So if you're going to get married before God, you better stick with that marriage before God. I don't care how much she drives you nuts. I don't care how much all the lovey-dovey is now gone. The honeymoon phase is gone and you just can't stand her. You made the commitment. Now it's your job to go lead her and to stick around in that marriage as much as possible. Not just for the kids, to try to make it as good as possible. Number two way to ruin your life is having the wrong view of money. We've talked about money before.
There's two specific areas we want to hit with this one.
Correct. I'll hit the first one, you hit the second if that works, which is loading up on, well, actually, I'll let you do the first one because you speak much sure. Much more eloquently on this.
Yeah, so we thought about making this one its own thing too, but like the way you can ruin your life is just loading up on debt.
Yep.
We've had episodes on this before. We're not going to spend a ton of time here, but just racking up tons of credit card debt, yep. buying the 2024 car because, oh man, I'd love to have CarPlay or whatever. It's like, be smart with your money. Don't get into a ton of debt. You know, obviously having a house payment is one thing, but just going crazy. I mean, student loans. You look up and you're married, 25 with some kids, and you're sitting at between you and your spouse over $200,000 worth of debt. You can get out of it. As maybe destroy your life is a strong way to put it, but man, you can make yourself, you can dig yourself into such a hole
oh, yeah.
that you are digging out of it for 20, 30 years. And that is something, you know, don't load up on debt. Be very, very smart with it.
Proverbs talks about the borrower slave to the lender.
22-7.
You'll be in slavery for a very long time until you can get out. This is why student loans can kill you so much, especially if you're marrying somebody, you found her at college, you got the MRS degree, and you're both coming with $80,000, and you got $160,000 with all of these high interest rates that you're going to be paying on until you're 50. Think about that. Before you head off to college, think about those things. Don't rack yourself with, load up on the debt. Number two, pursuing wealth at all costs. We just had this episode 91, I think, so a couple episodes ago, on materialism. Don't pursue wealth at all costs where we get into that 1 Timothy 6:10. Like, it is the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
You just make poor decisions and, like, cheat people. Yes. Like, it's not a good route.
You cut corners, the cheapest, quickest way to make money. Don't do that. Be diligent in the work that you do. Don't pursue wealth at all costs. Go ahead and get us to number three.
Yeah, so poor decisions with girls, you can destroy your life or ruin your life. Having the wrong view of money can. Number three, falling victim to vice. Falling victim to... Goodness, there's a lot of these on here. Pretty obviously, pornography is a huge one. You can absolutely should probably let Joe talk about this one since that's what he deals with a whole lot more with his therapy world. You can absolutely destroy your life from viewing and being addicted to pornography. Obviously, alcoholism. My dad's first cousin was sent to jail because he brutally murdered his girlfriend. Doesn't remember a thing. You know why? Because he was strung out on alcohol. Like, you can just, drunk driving, obviously. Like, there are so many different ways that alcohol, if you're a victim to that, can ruin your life. Drugs, it goes without saying. Gambling, like, you name it. There are, there's the debt thing. Like, you're just racking up a ton of debt because you just can't stop gambling. You can very quickly destroy your life, maybe arguably more than the money thing. You definitely can with any of these vices, so to speak.
We talked about being strong in the last episode, being in control of ourselves. Vices are the exact opposite, and I think it's very easy for us young men to fall into these things and think, well, we're young, we'll get out of it. And I see a lot of people, specifically with pornography, like, that's a young man's thing. Except for the fact that currently I have two clients in their 70s who are addicted to porn, and one in his 60s who is addicted to porn and getting out of it. We think there's a young man's game. It's not. It sticks with you for life, and these guys are testaments to, this has ruined my life. I made certain decisions based off of this that I should have never made. They got all sorts of issues. Alcohol, obviously, is one of those. We all know people that have gotten into alcoholism. Maybe it doesn't get that drastic. That's very, very drastic, but that's very possible as well. I mean, those type of things were drunk driving accidents. I got lots of alcoholism on both sides of my family that go back, and that can really ruin somebody's life. And if it doesn't ruin your, like, it's easy to go, well, it's my life to ruin. Ruins everybody else's life around you as well. This is something that can destroy your wife, your kids, the generations down the line, the people at church. And you got to consider your reputation as well. And vices will absolutely take a baseball bat to your reputations when those things come out. And all of a sudden, it's like, I didn't know that he was addicted to painkillers all this time. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get there. Easy to have a surgery and get addicted to painkillers, and we're kind of running from the problems of life. That's really what vices are. We're running from the problems of life. And the other thing that I was going to add to the falling victim of the vice, one of those for a young man is constantly being rebellious. You rebel against your parents, you rebel against all authority figures, and so much advice is this of, well, they can't tell me what to do. They can't tell me not to go smoke weed. They can't tell me not to, just take the sip of alcohol. Like, I'm sick of being told what to do all the time. My parents always kind of come down on me. Pump the brakes. You're 14, you're 16, you're 18 years old. Like, you've got a lot to learn in life, and it's easy to make this a vice for young men is to always run in the opposite direction of the authority structure in place and to be rebellious. So I had this initially as its own. I don't think it's a strong enough point to have as one of the things that'll ruin your life, like number six. But this is really, really important that the rebellion can ruin your life because you do end up marrying the wrong person. You do end up racking up debt. You do end up getting into alcohol or porn or whatever else because you're always kind of counterculture going against what everybody tells you to do. Sometimes the reason God gave us authority figures, because they know a couple more things than us. Just be humble enough to admit, I don't always have to run in the opposite direction from these things. Maybe they're trying to help. Maybe God gave me parents for a reason. Maybe he gave us government for a reason or elders and preachers for a reason. To learn from and to look at their example and to say, maybe I don't agree with everything, but I will submit and I will humbly submit to their authority and to their rule. Man, being rebellious can ruin your life like that.
I think it's a really good addition. Number four, ways you can ruin your life. Hanging out with the wrong people. Mm. Hanging out with the wrong friends. We've talked about this a lot. Not a ton new territory here, but my goodness, like similarly to marrying the wrong girl, obviously that's a bit of a bigger decision. You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time because of the people that you're with, and your life can go up in smoke.
Oh, yeah.
You can go up in flames. Like, you can, especially even when you're young, when you're 15, 16, hanging out with people who just don't make good decisions, or maybe when you're older and you got maybe some shady people that you work with or whatever. Like, just don't hang out with the wrong people. I said it, I think, one, maybe two episodes ago, of you are going to mirror the people you hang out with. You're going to mirror the people that you associate with and spend a lot of time with. And so make sure that you're intentional with that, as we've said time and time again. Don't just go along with the crowd. Don't just go along with what everybody's doing around you because, oh, you know, I guess that's just what we're supposed to do. Be very intentional. Don't hang out with people who are going to lead you astray. That's your dad's quote, right? Stupid people get you killed. We could talk about this forever, but hanging out with the wrong friends is a very, or the wrong people is a very fast way to destroy your life.
This is also where the Aaron Wren criminal activity. How many people commit crimes alone without being pushed by gangs, without being pushed by somebody else in the getaway car? Most of the time, the crimes that you're going to get where they're all drunk and they're standing around doing stupid stuff and break in, most of the time it takes place around really bad influences.
Yep.
And you see a young kid, he's a Christian kid, he's a good kid, and he gets in with the wrong crowd, and all of a sudden he's got to impress and he's got to be somebody that he's not, and he kind of becomes a chameleon and becomes the bad kid with them. And next thing you know, maybe there is criminal activity, and it all started because he's hanging out with knuckleheads. He wanted to be cool, he wanted to be part of the crowd. Learn to stand apart from the crowd.
You know, this is a weird example. You know, this makes me think of is Justin Bieber when he was young, came into the pop world sensation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, started getting into some legal trouble. You know why? Because he couldn't stop hanging out with, you know, I don't even want to name names, like just stupid influences, people who drag racing and like smoking weed and all this stuff. It's like he was 16, 17, 18 and didn't really, he probably did know better, but like just was hanging around them. Guess what happened? His reputation took a major hit. Because he could not figure out that, hey, I should probably think about who I'm hanging out with. But, you know, he's just one example.
And to go along with this, going along with the crowd is a big part of this. You need to be able, as a young man, to stand out and to go, I don't agree with this. So you look at COVID and masks. We'll go there. I don't know where everybody falls on that. But at this point, I think it's pretty well proven they did zero. They don't work. Everybody knows.
Some of us were saying that since they started.
Correct.
But, you know, not to take a victory lap here. But
masks and with the other things that you were supposed to do, in certain injections and such, you know what? You had to stand up against the crowd, and everybody was pushing you one way, and a lot of people folded, and they said, okay, you know, I'll go
sure.
along. Yeah. I'll go along with the crowd, sure, whatever I have to do. And there were those of us that did not. Yeah, you have to be willing to stand up against peer pressure and to go, no, I'm not doing it. And you're going to get ridiculed, and you're going to get hated, and you're going to have a lot of different things where people look at you and go, wow, I can't believe you'd even do this. Well, why? What's the problem with it? Why don't you just do it? You have to be morally strong enough in yourself to go, no. And you have to have a strong enough sense of self to be willing to call it out and to stand away from the crowd for a second with all your wrong friends when they decide they're going to go get drunk and go driving back roads because, tell you what, four-wheeling's the coolest thing ever, and they're all putting back some brewskis. Next thing you know, they roll a truck. This happened to a young man at a church that I grew up at where went out with his friends. Rolled a truck and he ended up dying. Got thrown. It wasn't wearing a seatbelt. They were doing things that they should not have done. Four wheeling. It was the funnest time in the world. And next thing you know, he's dead. And what was that worth? His life was worth way more than that. But he's hanging out with the wrong friends, going along with the crowd. And nobody thought, with all of the people that were doing it, nobody thought, this is a really bad idea. We probably shouldn't be doing it. Everybody went along with
going with the crowd.
Right? Yep. Nobody wanted to be that guy who was a damper on it. And so, hey, be willing to be that guy who's a damper on stupid things. Call it out when you see it. And be strong enough internally to go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to drink because everybody's drinking. I'm not going to, they're all passing around a joint. No, I don't do that. Well, boy, you're going to look uncool. Oh, boy, that's the worst thing.
That's just the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
No, it's not. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for what's right. Don't go along with the crowd just to get along. That will ruin your life very quickly if you're not strong enough to stand up to the crowd.
So number five, we're already at number, our last one here, is a little bit different than the other four. The other four, I would say, are drastic. They are, these are just big things that you just cannot do. Vices, yep. Marrying the wrong person, loading up on debt, the one you talked about, hanging out with the wrong people. This fifth one might seem like a little bit more subtle, a little bit more, a little bit less serious, I guess you could say. And that is not taking yourself seriously.
Subtle's a good term.
Yeah. I mean, you say, wow, Will, I mean, that's, I'd rather do that than, you know, maybe some of the other stuff. And okay, sure, maybe if you're ranking them, this is maybe the least important thing you might say. But these are people who, they kind of always do the bare minimum in life. These are people who, they don't take their schoolwork seriously. They don't take their job seriously. They don't take themselves seriously. They just kind of, they're just kind of floating along through life and, you know, kind of doing their own thing. And there's just not a lot of purpose to their life. There's not a lot of, I don't know, just serious investment into really anything. They're just, they just don't take themselves seriously. And again, if you're ranking it, this is probably the least important one. But this can ruin your life in the sense of, like, what are you living for? What are you striving for? What are you pushing for? Nothing, because you're just kind of floating along through this, through the life.
It's insidious. This is something that is very nuanced, that is under the surface. What you'll realize is my life is amounting to very little. You don't take yourself seriously. You don't. So what we're talking about, not taking your school, your studies, not taking your job seriously. This is a quality of life issue. Will it destroy your life in terms of it all blows up in your face? No, but what you'll do is you'll wake up one day in a decade and go,
what have I done the last 10 years?
What is my life? Who am I? What have I done? What have I accomplished? And yeah, let's see. I took the easy way. I did the bare minimum. A lot of guys drink their way through college, and then they get horrible scores, and they barely graduate, and they change their degree path. They went in, they were going to be doctors, and now they're getting their liberal arts degree because they were too busy, you know, messing around the entire time. And so they scrambled at the last second, spent a fifth year in college for literally no purpose because they didn't take themselves seriously. They had no vision as to where they were going to go. They didn't. It's kind of like, oh, be bopping around through life. So instead of being a doctor, instead of being a lawyer, instead of being something that was going to make them some money and maybe make a name for themselves, instead they get a liberal arts degree, they're working at Starbucks, and they happen to meet a good girl at Starbucks, but it's not what they could have been. And next thing you know, they end up checking up and having a baby out of wedlock.
A lot of debt.
A lot of debt. And so there, boy, he's now having to work at Home Depot and at Starbucks at the same time and trying to figure out how he's going to make it. And this all started because you didn't take yourself seriously. You didn't take your study seriously when you went into college. You didn't take your vision seriously. You had a vision and it's kind of like, oh, well, we'll get there. Your life will go down a very different path when you don't take yourself seriously and when you don't take your vision seriously and you don't hold yourself accountable and you don't take your study seriously and you don't take your job seriously. You don't take your call to be a husband seriously. This will ruin your life in so many ways subtly. You will never wake up one day or you'll never have it where it's, you know, wow, boy, my life is ruined. You'll wake up one day and go, what have I done?
Yeah.
And what is my life? And if I had only done this, if I'd only married that girl instead of chickening out, she was the best shot that I ever had. And instead, I chickened out and I didn't do it because I didn't take myself seriously. And she saw that I wasn't a serious individual and she left me. And that was the
for
best.
For somebody more serious.
For somebody more serious. Yeah. And that was the best prospect I ever had. That's how this will ruin your life. Take yourself seriously.
What a good spiel that was. I mean, again, it seems like it's so much less harmful. It's still incredibly, it's an incredibly dangerous way that you can ruin your life. There's one that goes without saying. Again, we didn't put this one on because it's kind of obvious. You turn your back on God, your life's over at that point. Your life is ruined.
Because what's the point?
You're on the Godly Men podcast. Hopefully you know that, you know, if you turn your back on God, become an atheist, go off the deep end, whatever. Like, you're good. Enjoy the rest of your life. Like, that's all you're going to have at this point. Your eternity is wasted. Your purpose is gone. Like, goes without saying that if you turn your back on God, it will ruin your life. But some of these other things, you know, you're probably going to be like, okay, well, I'm never going to turn my back on God. You still very easily could fall victim to these things. So that's why we put these on the list. You know, maybe a bit of a downer episode, you might say. It's a cautionary episode.
Correct.
Once again, as I said at the start, in the sense of make sure that you are aware that you can very easily fall into these things, specifically the friend one, specifically marrying the wrong person. Don't do those things.
Let me say this. Scripture speaks to every single one of these. God wants us to have a good life.
Oh, for sure.
He wants us to live the good life. Eternal life is quality, not just quantity, right? It's a quality of life that we have now. Turn your back on God, you give up quality and quantity. Mm. We want you to live a quality life. We're called as godly young men to live a quality life. God is not some fuddy-duddy who's telling us, well, don't do these things. We're not telling you don't do these things because otherwise it's, we're saying pursue greatness, strive for greatness in every way. These things will stop you from striving for greatness. On the other side of this is a very positive world. But I'll tell you what.
Oh my goodness, such a good
point. You can lose the positive world like that because of these. That's what we're saying is God's calling us to something better.
The life that is defined by these things is the worst type of life out there.
Right.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Like the life where you've married the right girl, you got a great family, you're not in a bunch of debt, you can enjoy your money.
You take yourself seriously.
You don't have any vices. You enjoy nicer things like being outside, playing golf, whatever. You hang out with your really good friends.
Good people.
You take yourself seriously, have good purpose with your life. Talk about the best life. Like, why shouldn't we strive for that? But, you know, all these things that we talk about that might be more fun in the moment or, you know, that sounds like the good life. It's the worst life imaginable. And so, I'm glad you said that. Like, it's not a downer episode in the sense of, like, the life that we and God and God's word wants to push you towards, which is the opposite of all these things, is the best life here on earth that you can possibly have. So, very good point. I mean, I think that's so demonstrative for us in this episode is making sure that you understand it's not a matter of, well, do this, don't do this, because, you know, God wants to make all the rules. God knows what the best kind of life is for us, and it's the one that, again, runs away from all these.
That's right.
So that's all I've
got. That's a great wrap. That's a great wrap there.
We'll stop right there. Episode 93, getting closer and closer to episode 100. Thank you for being there with us, whether it's your first listen or whether you're 10 episodes in or whether you've been with us. I wonder if anybody has listened to every single episode. If you listen to this episode and you have listened, you are 93 for 93, let us know in the comments.
That's right.
You'll be the first person who, you know, once we get the t-shirts finished that we still have not done yet, you'll be the first person that gets one.
There you go.
But thank you very much for listening and paying attention, whether it be on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We will be back next week for episode 94 of the Godly Young Men podcast.